Miss the conversation?
Cap and J-Hood?
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
When Matt Nagy prepares his team and puts his game plan together, he does it with Andy Dalton in mind. Andy Dalton is very much a pocket passer. We saw a couple runs. The second one's when he got hurt, unfortunately. But he looked good early in that game. Really good. Didn't you feel like, oh, dude looks better than I realized?
Yeah, I always thought coming in that this would be an upgrade to Trubisky, but not like an all-world quarterback. I just thought, here's a quarterback that's been there and done that, a veteran presence, mm-hmm. and can be able to harness the offense.
Correct.
That's what I thought.
Okay, so he goes down. In comes Justin, screaming, move the pocket. Get him out on the edge.
Sure.
Let him make plays with his feet and his arm. And if they come up on you, dump it over the top. If they play back, go pick up 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards at a crack and force them to react to you.
That's correct.
We never, ever saw that. No design run. Like, he would get flushed and go, but there were no designed RPOs. There was no rolling the pocket and having, like we would see Mitch late last season when Laser was there and whatever was going on. We would see Mitch out on the edge, and he would talk all the time. I want to be out there more, like that. We didn't see any of that.
He didn't insist on it, Mitch, but he'd always, every now and then, bring it up. Like, yeah, you know, I like to roll out in the pocket, be able to see some things, you know, or run.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Like they do in Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Great. He's in the right offense because that's exactly what he wants. Josh Allen, that's exactly what Mitch wanted to do in Chicago.
Correct. Maybe he's just not as good.
Maybe just couldn't read the defense as well as Josh.
Correct. Or maybe he wasn't coached properly. We don't know.
We'll know at the end.
10 years from now, we're going to look back and go, son of a gun, that guy was better than we thought. Or, nope, it wasn't coaching. He just wasn't very good.
When you write that book, The Plan 2, Electric Boogaloo, about Matt Nagy, it'll be in there. Because you'll get all the information.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch, can I sit down with you? Yes, you can.
Just want to run the pocket more. I don't know. Now I'm with Fox.
Exactly.
He's going to be a broadcaster.
Exactly. Hey, I'm Kevin Burkhart with my partner, Mitchell Trubisky. Jason Peters, 39-year-old guy, played 100% of the snaps on Sunday. And he said there were times my body was tired, really tired. He said, and that's when you have to be perfect on your technique. He said, otherwise you're going to get beat a lot. Mm-hmm. If you're tired and bad technique, that's a bad combination. But he was asked about the blocking for different quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is a difference. You just got to adjust. With Andy, he's going to hit his 10-yard. If it's a deep, if it's a 7-step or a 5-step, Andy going to hit it and climb versus Justin, you know, because I played with Mike. I played with Foles, two different quarterbacks. You know, Mike always trying to make a play, so he going to bail out and roll out, not knowing, you know, I'm pushing the end up the field so he can come back and tomahawk. So I just got to adjust. I got to take more kicks when Justin in there, just to cut off his pursuit angle because he's going to bail out and try to make a play. That's what he do, you know, making plays. So it's just two different quarterbacks. You got one that pushes up, and then you got one that's trying to get outside the pocket if you get a little pressure up front.
Mike who?
Mike Vick.
Mike Vick. That's what I thought he was talking about. So, I forgot how old he was. You said he was 39.
39.
Should have been listening. Yes, 39. So he is that old, Michael Vick.
No, actually, he meant Mike Tomczak, Hoodie.
All right, get out of there with that.
Keep your beak out of there, Miller.
Mike Tomczak.
So when you hear him say that, it's two different quarterbacks.
Miller's on fire.
I've been screaming, get Justin out on the edge, move the pocket. And people that I trust that know a lot more football than I ever will because they played in the league say, mm-hmm. dude, it ain't that easy. You don't just completely change the game plan. Well, should they have had, because Matt was on with us.
Yes.
And said, yeah, we have a package of plays for Justin. So shouldn't that package of plays include him getting out on the edge?
Yes, it should. And I wonder about game one. Did he just put him out there because he was a threat to run? Or was that the package of plays that Matt was talking about in game one against the Rams? Was that the package?
Well, Matt said he would have played more. They had a bigger package of plays if the game had been different.
Okay. And then game two, we didn't see those package of plays because he was put out there because of Dalton's injury.
Injury, go, and we're going to run the same stuff rather than tear up the game plan.
Yeah. I would just think that some of the stuff that was part of the package of plays should have been out there. Maybe it was, and I just don't know it. I just want to know how big that book is for Justin. You know, I've been around Bears players before, and you have too. I just remember doing shows back in the day. Sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by our friends at Ankin Law.
Well, apparently. I haven't seen the paperwork on that.
I do.
Is it official?
It's official.
All right, so I've been around players, Cap, and you interview them. They come into the Winnebago I used to have back in the day when I was working nights, and they would come in like, hey, there's no media out here. Just come to, like, the RV. Where's the RV? By the practice field. They'd come in. The lights are dim. Some drinks there if they want to have a little bit. Back in the day in Bourbonnais. And they'd bring their playbook with them. And I go, can I just thumb through that just for a second? How big that playbook is, it's enormous.
Enormous.
For offensive players.
It's really like a phone book.
It's crazy, right? I just want to know how many of those pages are for Justin. I'd like to know that. Is it as big? Is it a small book? Those package of plays?
It's a leaflet.
Is it? It's a pamphlet?
Yes.
So with Justin Fields, you want him to understand the offense, but when he's out there, does he have that much of the playbook? Does he have that much of the playbook? How many plays do they have? Is it that much?
Right.
How much does he really have?
That's a great question. I think we'll get some answers to that Sunday.
Now, he gets the whole kitchen. He gets everything on Sunday.
Correct.
But that package of plays, I just think that even if it was just half the book, right, you would think that, okay, guys, it's Justin, so, you know, you got to block differently. Hey, wide receivers, you don't have to be wedded to the sidelines. You could be able to cut in a little bit. Mooney, do that great route running. That's the thing that we don't know. How much of the playbook does he have?
It's a great question that I think will be answered on Sunday. I will be stunned if Andy Dalton's playing on Sunday. Stunned.
The press conference will tell you a story, right?
Correct.
When do they start? Soon? The press conferences?
Coming up here in a little bit, next hour or two.
We'll see who will be introduced besides Matt Nagy. Who else comes out there? Does Andy come out there or does Justin come out there? I'd like to know.
Or neither.
Well, a quarterback must be represented, right? You got to have somebody out there. You just can't roll like Eddie Jackson out there. You got to have more. You got some more offensive weapon. More than Allen Robinson.
Correct.
You know, so I'd like to know that. I just thought that in Sunday's game, okay, this is Andy's game plan. Okay, but still, you know the young man can roll out. Don't let him just be chained to the line of scrimmage. Let him do what he does best. Now, I'm not asking him to play basketball on the football field. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there are certain things. It's like you learn this in preseason. You learn this in practice. You know, all these 5 or 10 plays, let's do that.
And now you're handing – so he was the scout team quarterback last week. He is the backup.
Now, when you make sure that we all understand this right. When you say scout team, he got 0 snaps with the starters?
From what I was told, it's at the back end of practice, he gets a handful of snaps with the starters. The rest of it is he's running the Bengals plays.
Cap, don't you think that should be 90-10? 90% Dalton, 10% Fields? If you know that Fields is going to have a certain package of plays?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
Why does he close. Get... Well, I mean, if it's a scout team, it's not the starters, right?
Right, and then they flipped him over. I think Foles goes in, runs that, and Justin gets a bucket of plays. He run these with the starters.
Okay.
So he's comfortable. And then, from what I've been told, they stay after practice. Certain guys, not the whole deal. And he works on certain things.
Okay, I see.
So, this week...
Is A-Rob one of those guys hanging out?
I can't answer that.
How about no?
15 games to go.
Yeah. How about no?
I will be very curious if it is indeed, as I believe, Justin starting on Sunday. What does the offense look like?
It may not be A-Rob, but definitely his agent. He is marking the calendar like he's in Attica.
Correct.
He's got the black Sharpie, and he's just crossing off the days.
Or he's on a diet. I got 90 days to lose 22 pounds. That's one day. That's 2 days I mean, without carbs.
He wants him out of there.
Correct.
So, you know.
Well, this will be a very interesting game because they've had all week. They know Andy. It's not like Andy got hurt on Friday and walked through. Oh, God.
Right.
He got hurt on Sunday.
Right.
Justin played a lot of the game. I want to see what the game plan looks like on Sunday. Is he getting out on the edge? Are they using his feet? That's a really good Cleveland defense.
Here's what we talked about leading into the season. If you want Justin Fields to have full autonomy of the offense, it is a hell of a learning curve. That particular schedule, what a schedule to learn.
Yep.
Look at the teams that they got to face. It starts with Cleveland, really.
Yep.
And then you keep moving forward through the AFC North, the teams that they got to face, Cap. It's going to be difficult. And I know that some of our listeners are trying to pick and choose and say, well, not now, the Lions game, not now. No, the Lions are 0-2, and they're actually good. They actually have some punch to them, a little fight.
They absolutely do. They're just not talented enough. But they play hard, man.
Just please stop looking at the Bears and their schedule like, well, Justin should start for a softer team in the NFL. There are no soft teams in the NFL.
And those guys on the Lions are coming with evil intent.
Oh, my God. And Cleveland will be even more difficult. So we'll see what happens. But I'm very anxious to see who is going to start. If it's Justin, then you do what you got to do to make sure that he's prepared, Cap. That's what it comes down to.
Also, a little bit of breaking news. The White Sox game against the Detroit Tigers has been postponed due to inclement weather in the Motor City. The game will be made up Monday, September 27 at 12:10 Central Time.
No makeup. That's enough of the Tigers. Move on. No makeup.
They have tickets to sell.
Well, I understand that. I don't want to see them anymore.
You're going to be in Detroit.
Well, I don't want to see this anymore.
And Mike just texted, they need you to do the broadcast. Head up to the Motor City on Sunday.
Okay. I'm on my way. Got to fill up the car. I'm down to 50 miles on my car. I got to get gas.
Better get gas.
I normally never do that. Driving my wife's car today, it's like, I get in it. Oh, God. 50 miles. Will I make it home? Yeah. I make it home.
Yeah, I was in my wife's car yesterday as well.
Jeez.
We were driving, and I said, you're on E. Oh, we better stop and get gas. I'm going to the bathroom, of course. Me. Oh,
of course.
Okay. Let me get my credit card and get your gas for you. I'll take care of that right now.
You're such a gentleman.
There you go.
So, I mean, Cap, this schedule with Justin Fields, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, Detroit's got some punch. Go to Vegas with Wild and Sylvie on the 10th. Tough. They start off 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Tough.
Oh, boy, if you want to learn the NFL, you learn through that schedule.
That's a gauntlet. All right, our guy, Keyshawn Johnson. We've got some very interesting questions about game planning. We'll talk to Key. Next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, you got a big day tomorrow, Cap.
Big day tomorrow, walking almost 26 miles to raise money for Bernie's Book Bank. Go to walkasonechicago.org. We're north of 100 grand already raised. They provide high quality reading and learning materials to underserved boys and girls in the Chicago area. And we'll be walking to every college and pro stadium starting at the United Center. We'll finish at Northwestern. So it should be a lot of fun. That leads us to our guy, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max in the mornings lead into us.
Mm-hmm.
Key, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
You know what's happening, man. We were getting ready for the Bears and the Browns. I want to get your thoughts about the last game the Bears had. Get your thoughts about the Bears' defense. What stood out most about them being opportunistic against Cincinnati?
Well, I don't think that it's the Bears' defense that we are accustomed to seeing. I think when you look at them, they're still trying to, put everything together the way that it needs to be. We're so accustomed to seeing Bears defenses just become lights out that I think now we're starting to hope and pray that the brand is still the same on the defensive side of the ball. But they did create the turnover for the touchdown on the interception to Joe Burrow, which is a plus for them. But they were not going up against a juggernaut of an offense, a potent offense, the way that the Cleveland Browns offense could potentially be, although Landry won't be in the lineup. And then OBJ has yet to play this year. I still think based on their running game, they can still create a lot of problems for you.
I want to ask you about game planning, Key. You were always a focal point of whatever your teams did. I mean, you're the number one pick in the draft. Everyone knows when he's on the field, we got to know where that dude is. So the other day, Andy Dalton gets hurt. And Jason Peters talked yesterday about when Andy's in there, he's going to climb the pocket, but we know where he is. When Justin comes in, it's different. He's out on the edge. We did not see the Bears move the pocket. And people up there have said to me, dude, we can't change the game plan in a moment's notice. It's just different. So he had to execute the game plan that was already put together. Is that accurate, or should they have been able to take better advantage of Justin's skill set?
I would say it's accurate, but what I also would say is all second-unit quarterbacks that you think have the opportunity to play, you have things set aside for them. You have situational things set aside for them. So if you know, well, he probably won't start, but he may wind up playing at some point in the game, we've got to do certain things to be ready for it in these situations, then they should have had a package of situations ready to go for Justin Fields just in case. So I would put that more on Matt Nagy and the offensive staff not preparing just in case.
And in practice, Key, how does that look? Is that like 85-15, 90-10 as far as Dalton getting more snaps than Justin? How does that usually work?
It just depends. It can be as simple as Andy Dalton takes a few 7-on-7 red zone reps and Justin Fields gets the rest. Or Justin Fields gets the majority of 11-on-11 reps and Andy Dalton takes everything in 7-on-7 and everything in the red zone. It just depends on what the coaches need to see from a guy, because sometimes – so when you start counting plays, you only count the plays that they're in practice because that's what you're doing. But along that script, there's things that's repeaters that the day before maybe Andy Dalton didn't see, and they got it in this play script six times in that practice between 11-on-11 drills, 7-on-7 drills, as well as red zone drills. So those six plays may be the only six plays that Andy Dalton takes in a practice because he needs to see that clean. Doesn't mean that he's not going to be the starter. Doesn't mean that Justin Fields gets more reps. I always find it fascinating when people start talking about, well, he got more reps than him, 3-1. It's like, that doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing.
It's what plays he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's what plays is he getting. If all of a sudden he's getting the 2-minute drill, you know, twice a week, it's because he doesn't know the true 2-minute drill. They're trying to get him up to speed, where Justin Fields may know the 2-minute drill and Andy Dalton doesn't. Or every time they're in the red zone and 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, they take him and they put fade patterns in that particular matter because he may not be throwing great fade, so they want him to work on it. Doesn't mean because he's got in that red zone period twice as many reps as the starter that all of a sudden that means he's going to start.
Okay, so there's a bone bruise for Andy Dalton, and no ACL injury, but we haven't heard from him yet. We're not sure if he's going to talk today or not. I'm assuming, and it certainly seems like the narrative is, Justin Fields will be starting on Sunday. For me, there is no turning back, period. That's it. If Justin is a starter on Sunday, he's the starter the rest of the season. That's my future. And if it came quicker than maybe we all thought it would, whatever, so be it. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because Justin Fields has to hold a starting spot. Because it wouldn't be fair to some of those veteran players if you're just keeping Justin Fields in there and it's not working out for the sake of appeasing Cap in the fan base, if Justin Fields struggles, then you can go back to a healthy Andy Dalton to stay in contention, then you do that. If Justin Fields is lighting it up and things is looking a certain way, then there's nothing to think about. But you always give yourself a window of opportunity to backpedal if you need to by saying when he is healthy, he's our starter. So that when he's in healthy might be 7 weeks from now.
Key, what do you like most about this Cleveland Browns team?
I like the fact that they keep growing and they keep getting better every single year. You know, they run the ball. They got a philosophy, a sound philosophy, and that's going to run the ball, try to play defense, and take our shots when we need to. But don't have Baker Mayfield drop it back 60 times to try to prove that he's a passing quarterback in the National Football League. That's what I like about him. And they're young. They're young and they're hungry, and it seems like that those guys love playing football.
Do you foresee them taking another step this year?
I do. I do see them taking another step. What that other step means is instead of maybe losing a divisional title game to Kansas City, they lose in the AFC championship game. Or they win the division outright and make it to the divisional round, but they draw the Oakland Raiders, or Las Vegas Raiders, that all of a sudden won 10 straight games by a margin of 40 points, and then they run into that. But they take the next step and only lose by a point. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it as a Super Bowl-type team. I think they can be, but I think it's too early. I just think they take the next steps in terms of keeping everything clean. It looks right. They win like 12, 13 games, that sort of thing.
I got one last thing from me. Matt Nagy comes to the podium the other day. He talks about Andy's injury. He talks about Justin. Then one of the reporters says, Matt, is Andy Dalton this quarterback? Is it his job? Blah, blah. And Matt said, I'm not going to get into that. It's scheme related. And the reporter pushes back and goes, that has nothing to do with scheme. Matt, that's 100% scheme. I'm not going to talk about it. And then they sent a PR guy back in 40 minutes later. Oh, a coach just wanted you guys to know that Andy's the starter whenever he's healthy again. So that should clarify everything. And Matt's getting crushed for how that came out. Do you think Matt was wrong how he handled it?
I mean, he's a coach, man. What is he going to say? I mean, he wants to keep certain things with his team, and reporters want information that they're not going to get. So when they don't get the information, it creates something. And, look, in the end, Matt Nagy did what he felt he needed to do. And you know how I feel. I wouldn't get a media nothing anyway. That's just me.
Right.
And I work in the media.
Right.
But you're not getting anything. I'm not ready to tell you what my plans are. And you're not going to bully me into telling you just because you got a pen and a piece of paper.
I completely agree with you.
Now, my partner is going to do something special, Key. David Kaplan's going to walk. Is it 26?
Yeah.
26 miles?
Tomorrow
for BerniesBookBank.org. He's going to go to all of the major stadiums in Chicago. Do you have any advice for Cap tomorrow?
I don't know. What's the weather like?
It's going to be about 60 degrees and overcast.
Yeah, still take some water. Hydrate yourself.
I'll get hydrated. Any kind of a snack that I should have packed in my backpack?
I don't know what you apples, some bananas or something?
That's a good idea. Bananas.
Apples. Oranges, I guess.
Yeah, 26 miles all over the city is going to be
walking.
Every
stadium.
And then find somebody in Chicago area that want to work on those nasty feet afterwards.
Exactly. 100%.
I hear you and you and Jay Will with these clippings, man, these toe clippings, man. Is that story true?
No, it's not toe, fingernails.
Fingernails.
Yeah, I'm clipping my nails. Where else am I going to do it?
I mean, I get them done. I can't do them myself, man. I do too,
but they grow so fast. I just, you know, if they get too long and I don't like it, I just clip.
How often do you get a manicure? Every week?
Try every week.
Yeah.
There you go. How about a pedicure?
Every week.
Oh, that's good stuff there, man.
The best.
Having someone that's not your wife touching your feet, man, that's good stuff.
It's restaurant quality.
I get that all the time.
Hey, Key, you're the man. We appreciate it. We love chatting with you.
All right, we'll talk.
We'll talk. Have a great day. There he is, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn J. Will and Max, the new morning show here that leads into you and I.
Yes. Now you're exhausted after all that.
I am.
Long name.
A wild scene at Wrigley Field last night. Wild. Next.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
The Chicago Cubs are on the air. Harry Carey back at Wrigley Field. I know Stone's here somewhere, but Harry Carey back at Wrigley Field. Here's the starting lineup for the Cubs. Dernier in center. Sandberg at second.
You would only read him as Arnie was putting it on the screen.
Correct, like he didn't have a lineup in front of him.
That's so great.
That guy.
Durham at first. Moreland and Wright.
Still remember walking into the booth to interrupt him to ask him a question. He's hunched over the score pad. No notes of any other kind. Mm-hmm. And all he's putting in, like, Hood. And then D-O-O-H. No, Do. His last name is Do, because everything was backwards.
Yes.
Like, wow. Like, I got a ream of notes. Jonathan Hood. In daytime, he's hitting 294. At night, he's hitting 375. None of that.
Do.
How about that, Arnie?
Nodge for John. Nodge, do.
Like, why is that appealing to him?
That was his thing, man.
So it's so funny that we played Jump Van Halen, the old 84 Cubs theme, because there is a Cubs topic we have.
We do. So last night, Conor McGregor, decked out in a beautiful suit, was at the Cubs game. He threw out the first pitch, one of the worst you've seen. It's gone viral. I mean, it was the play of the day on Good Morning America.
It's crazy.
Yes. And we have all these monitors in here. What do we got? Three monitors, and every monitor says, coming up, Conor McGregor's first pitch.
Yes.
So he also sang the seventh inning stretch, and he was not great.
What's up, Chicago? The mic is back, and so are the Cubs. Let's go, Chicago Cubs! I'm here with Mateo, here with Kira. We're going to sing the song. Let's go. One, two, three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So let's root, root the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Let's go, Chicago!
There you go.
That was not bad.
It was not bad.
I don't think it's bad at all. He actually carried the tune.
Like, what's the worst of all time? Ozzy Osbourne there?
Ditka.
Oh, Ditka out of breath.
The Ditka out of breath.
Yelling at the top of his lungs.
Okay, so I was there that day. Ditka was playing golf.
How many rounds?
I have no idea.
You know, drinks, he means.
Yeah. It's like, it had to be three rounds.
He
for
comes
him.
Flying down. They have already made, John McDonough had already made arrangements for somebody else because Mike wasn't there. You know, we get you tickets, they put you in a skybox, you're there all day. No, that was not Mike. Mike is playing golf. He comes racing up and parks his car right in front of the stadium. On the corner of Clark and Addison. Just pulls up, comes running in. There's no elevator back then.
No.
Up the stairs, up to the press box. I know Meller's got it somewhere there.
Oh, my God.
The first ever Ditka was classic. Take me out. I mean, it is just precious. Ozzy Osbourne.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I mean, it's a if you know the song, and of course now the Cubs will give you the script, right? It's right in front of you. So, I mean, if you know the tune, just carry it a little bit. You should be able to sing that song. Connor, not bad. Not bad.
He was all right.
You hear the organist kind of adjusting to his tone, like, okay.
Correct.
It's a different key, way different key than I'm accustomed to. Right, but you know what? Hung in there nicely.
He clearly doesn't follow sports, though, because he started off with that he's back and so are the Cubs. The Cubs are back where? What the hell are you talking about, McGregor?
2 weeks. They'll be back home.
Maybe he's a huge Frank Schwindel fan. You don't know that, Danny.
That's right.
Maybe he follows baseball more closely than anybody.
How about that? And then Merck, of course, Merck says that they're playing the right way, the Cubs. You heard him say that, right?
Yes.
The Chicago Cubs are playing the right way.
Yeah, no shot.
That's what he said.
Bunch of 30-year-old journeymen making their debuts in August and September. The right way.
Hey, Cap, I don't know about you, but I think we're ready to go. We got this Ortega kid, and he's pitching.
He's 30. What I told a friend, he's like, I really like this young Ortega kid.
This young Ortega kid.
Hold on.
This Schwindel.
Our guy Russell Dorsey in the Sun-Times today,
yes.
Who I love. I adore Russ. He's a great, great person.
Yeah.
Some depth pieces for the puzzle. Cubs have unearthed several gems this season. Wisdom, he's 30. Schwindel, Hermosillo, Ortega. I mean, gems? Gems!
I mean...
Come on, Russ.
He's got a filled space in the paper. I mean, he's got it right there. What else are you going to say about this season?
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You got one team on one side going to the playoffs, thinking they can win the World Series, and all their dudes are locked up long term. The other side, you're like, okay, we got Contreras. We got Hendricks. Beyond that, who do we really have?
Well, not anything that's a building block for the future.
Horner and Madrigal, maybe?
We'll see.
We'll find out.
We'll see. So you're going to do the old daily double again with those two, huh? Why don't you put those fleas at the top of the lineup? See how that works.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, Horner and Madrigal. 1-2 in the lineup.
Wow.
Well, Madrigal's a good hitter, right? A good contact guy. Put those fleas at the top of the lineup like 1983.
Yeah, the game has changed. By the way, David Allen tweeted and said, don't forget when Jeff Gordon called it Wrigley Stadium.
Oh, he did, yes. I remember that. Thank you, David. I forgot about
Wrigley Stadium. That was another awful one. But a lot of people, Waddle's always wanted them to get rid of the celebrity singer.
Why?
He's bored by it. He doesn't care for it. He would rather just have a video of Harry all the time. They do that once in a while.
They Harry gets his time.
Sano.
Ernie gets his time. Sano. I mean, there's always reflection. You can't book everybody for 82 games a season. I understand that.
I might be speaking out of turn, but I think Waddle's problem with it isn't necessarily them singing the stretch. It's the pointless interview thereafter. Right? So you're watching a Cubs game. All right, Conor McGregor's saying the stretch. That's great. Now we have to talk to him about stuff we don't really care about because he's here to promote something.
Did they interview him last night?
No, you think I was watching that Cubs game? Come on.
Honestly, God, Danny, tell the truth. And you always do because you're nothing else. He's always truthful to a fault. Last time you watched 9 innings of a Cub game?
Oh, my God. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez were still on the team.
Oh, my God. You've turned it off completely.
Completely. I'm completely done with this team. Turned off. Biblical losses for me in this Cubs team.
House?
Of course.
You do.
I don't know. I haven't turned it on in a long, long time. But I do believe that I have it on my Comcast.
Kids, come around the fire. Uncle Cappy and I are going to tell you a story. So Uncle Cappy is one of the first ones to tell everyone that there might be a Cubs network coming.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is late 80s, early 90s. And it was supposed to have DePaul on it. Do you remember this? DePaul basketball was supposed to be part of this new Cub channel because on Channel 9, you had Cubs baseball and you had DePaul basketball with John Mengelt.
That's correct.
And so so that was supposed to be the building blocks of a new Cubs channel. We knew about this 30 years ago. There's no way. That idea is a lot better than what they have on Marquee now. And this is no slight at the Cubs. Because the Cubs have a place to play on Marquee. I have no problem with that. It's the other programming. That's the problem.
Right. They can't get any. Like, I'm watching. I flipped on the channel, and they had on. I want to say it was like Army against Coastal Carolina. I'm like, who's watching this?
Oh, yeah. I think they have the ACC package. I've seen Florida State games on there.
On Marquee?
Yep.
Because I've seen, like, Hampton against somebody. I'm like, who?
Yes, sir. But you got to be somewhere.
HBCU.
Well, they would put it on there. You know, BT would have it on there, but they have reruns of, you know, other shows.
Yes, correct.
So, you know, but that's another story.
That's it.
But you remember this, right, Cap?
Definitely.
The whole plan of the Cub Network.
And they were going to have DePaul. They were trying to do some other ancillary Chicago sports programming. And wait a minute. We can't get that?
I think they replay the Bears games every week.
Well, that would be a step up in class.
It is.
They can replay the Cubs games. I don't even get enough classic Cub games on there. I mean, that's they have a major issue with that.
They do.
Got to have more than just Cubs on it. Show me something else. I do like some of the other stuff, like a. Did I not see a Chris Myers show?
Yes,
a Chris Myers
show. And a Doug Glanville show.
Yes, I've seen that.
What don't you like about the Marquee Network?
There you go. You won't be saying that in 2 years. Baseball man for my baseball man, Rosner.
All right, we will.
Baseball man.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
Nothing,
Tom. This was Ditka.
Well, Mike Ditka's in the building, but we're going to have to take over unless he gets here very quickly. Yeah, I know. Believe me, folks, we booed too. Okay, you ready? Here he comes. Hold on. This is a dramatic pause.
Awesome.
And as we speak, Mike Ditka has made it. And boy, am I happy. As happy as all of you. Mr. Ditka, please.
A one and a two and a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. All these happy nuts and grandchild jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole team.
The greatest.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Make sure you follow us on ESPN 1000 on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Parham and York will be in a few minutes for Crosstalk. Greeny at noon, Waddle and Sylvia 2, Black and Abdallah at 6. White Sox postponed in Detroit today. It'll be made up on Monday at 11:10.
That makes me feel miserable. Miserable that there's no Sox baseball today.
Yeah, it's too bad. I love daytime baseball when we get off the air, sit on the couch and watch the game. It's great.
Sometimes you fall asleep.
Yes.
Thank God you woke me up.
I did call and wake you up yesterday.
No, I just dozed off, man. There's no atmosphere at Comerica Park, right? And I'm just watching the game and all of a sudden just kind of just doze off.
Right.
Then Cap's face lights up my phone. Oh, God.
What's up?
Morning.
Dude, I just watched episode one of this season from Billions.
Man.
I'm starting episode two. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We will be reviewing Billions, by the way.
Starting next week.
Now, here's why you know I'm your friend. On the old show, they were chiding you and making fun of you because you liked Billions and you were trying to get people into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Says, hey, man, have you seen Billions? It's a really good show. You should check it out, right?
Yeah.
And people are going after you about it. As a listener doing the night show, listening to your show, I'm like, dude, I like Billions, too. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So it's a show that Cap and I really enjoy. Cap lives vicariously through one of the characters every day.
Yes.
Which is just bananas.
Insane.
You are bananas to want to be one of the characters on the show. I understand the power, the money, and all that. Can go where you want to go whenever you want to. Charter a flight. Boom. We're going to go to Montreal to see a concert. Bam. Let's go, Wags.
That's it.
We're going to Montreal.
That's it.
Just like, that's just amazing.
Wasn't it like Metallica?
Yes.
Right. And JR got to see Metallica at Metro the other night on a surprise concert and apparently didn't call the boss. Mike, who loves Metallica, didn't even invite him. Include him.
Well, next time there's Earth, Wind, and Fire, I'm going to invite Mike. Hi!
Hi.
He'll be popping up there to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. Nonetheless, Portland State coach Bruce Barnum. He's Bruce Barnum. He picks up a $14,448 beer tab for fans at Vikings games against Western Oregon. So Bruce Burnham had offered to buy the fans beers who came out to see his Vikings take on Western Oregon. This took place Tuesday, and Portland State toppled the Division II Wolves 21-7. Burnham tweeted a photo representing the final tab. Cap.
That's a big tab.
Dude, you know how the coaching scale is.
What do you think he makes?
Do you have it in front of you?
Yes.
You know what? Ask Danny. Danny would know.
I looked it up. Are you crazy? Of course I looked it up already.
I thought I was going to get you at your game.
$14,448 of beers, of two types of beers. It's a squeezed IPA, and then there is a Coors Light.
Ask Carmen Yurko in there how much they think the head coach at Portland State makes in football. Yeah, a year.
I'll say $650.
He makes $190,000. That's it. And he's, imagine him telling his wife, honey, there's going to be a $14,000 bill on there, $14,400. That's a lot.
There, he's not going to pay for that. The school's going to pick that up.
Is that legal, Cap, do you know?
He can do that for the fans, yes.
Can the school pick that up for the students?
Absolutely. If they're legal drinking age, I think they can. They can't
or a booster.
They can't do it for players.
There could be a Portland State booster that could reimburse him. There's no way that's going to come out of his pocket. That's his move to get people to show up.
Okay, so I was at a basketball clinic when I was coaching. And the two speakers, it was the Hubie Brown Clinic with Mike Fratello.
In the painted area.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's still working. He's 80-whatever years old doing games. Hubie and Mike Fratello.
Yeah.
Mike was his assistant in Atlanta with the Hawks. Mike says that he was the assistant of the Villanova Wildcats, and they were drawing fleas there. Nobody.
Yeah.
He said, there's nobody there. And he said, I'm going to get this place rocking. It's going to be an awesome home court advantage. So he would go buy kegs of beer, knock on the door of the fraternities on Fraternity Row. You guys want this keg? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to promise you come to the game tonight. You can have the keg, drink it, come to the game, and I'll got you seats on the baseline, but you got to be brutal on the opponents. Done. He turned that thing into an amazing home court advantage.
Coach bought us beers. We're in.
Coach, we got you.
Whew, boy.
Isn't that a great idea?
That is. Well, absolutely. You want fans in the stands.
No question.
But Cap, $14,000 worth of beer.
Correct.
On what salary?
$190. He's making $110 right now. He was the interim coach. They named him the full-time, and his contract kicks in at the end of the year. $190.
Brother, if no one's picking up that tab, that's hard to explain to the wife.
No question.
Very hard to explain.
All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko and follow ESPN 1000 on Twitch. Watch us live and join the chat. Sponsored by Pinehurst Resort. Be right back.
The mayor.